There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Third and final hour of the show. You're listening to The Grill. We're live from Barasti up here on the rooftop garden. And as you can hear, plenty going on down here at Barasti. If sport or music is your thing, head to Barasti. Benny Benassi on the soundstage a little later on. And, of course, derbies galore on the big screen. In fact, Premier League action from 6 o'clock this evening, local time here in the UAE. All of the games being shown in and around Barasti at one of the 20-plus screens around the venue. One game being shown at the moment. The early kickoff in the Premier League. It is the Merseyside derby. Mark Archer's watching this one for us.
Yeah, almost 83 minutes gone at Goodison Park. It's still Everton 0, Liverpool 0. Liverpool have been, well, in control of the game without creating too many clear-cut chances, particularly in the second half. The most action's actually come off the ball. It's been Danny Ings with a bit of push and shove, a little bit of how's your father with a few of the Everton players, and that's been about as much as the action, as good as the action's got in the second half. So 10 minutes, just under 10 minutes remaining at Goodison Park, the first of today's derbies. Everton 0, Liverpool 0.
Alaves have taken the points against Getafe in the early kickoff over in Spain. They beat their rivals by 2-0 in the early kickoff there. Celta Vigo taking on Sevilla at 6:15 local time here a little later. There are goals flying in the Championship as we speak at the moment. Two early kickoffs there. Norwich taking on Aston Villa. It's still 3-1 in that one with, what, about 14 minutes to play. Grealish with the goal for the visitors, Villa. But Norwich in ascendancy through goals from Murphy, Sebeni and Madison. But it's all happening in the Barnsley-Sheffield United game because there's just been a goal in the last few minutes as well. Tom Bradshaw for the home team, Barnsley, heading from close range. That adds to the goals from Gardner and McBurney a little earlier on, cancelling out the two from Fleck and Clark for Sheffield United. 3-2 Barnsley against Sheffield United into stoppage time there. We turn our attention to our 6 o'clocks, and our feature game will be Stoke against Tottenham. Adam Bridge will be calling this one from the UK, and he joins us live on the line. Good afternoon to you, Adam.
Hello, kids. How are you?
We're not too bad. We're being a bit naughty up here in Barasti, but we're looking forward to the 6 o'clock kickoff. Stoke in a world of bother at the moment. Tottenham in ascendancy. Surely this is a way win all over it.
Well, listen, it's Grim and Stoke at the very best of times. So imagine when the one decent thing you've got going for you is about to get relegated from the Premier League after 10 years. It's not a happy place to be. There isn't a crumb of comfort around the Bet365 this afternoon. They've got Mr. Negative in charge in terms of Paul Lambert, who secured a victory in his first game but has gone 8 since then, searching for a victory. They're on the back of 3 straight defeats, whereas, of course, Spurs have not been beaten since December when they lost to Manchester City in the Premier League. That only defeat, of course, came against Juve in the Champions League. So, yes, I think we can expect something fairly one-sided. And to just make things even worse for those Stokies whose Potter's wheels are slipping and descending towards the Championship, the bad news for them, of course, is that Harry Kane, who scored a mere 8 goals in his last 4 games against them, he returns to the starting lineup today just when you thought things couldn't get any worse.
Great news for Spurs fans and England fans, I suppose, to see Harry Kane back in the starting lineup. Is that the only shock with regards to selection from the managers?
4 changes in total, actually, for Spurs today. Pochettino has had a bit of a fiddle around. Aurier, Rose, Wanyama and Kane are the 4 players coming into the starting 11. No surprise he's changed both the fullbacks, so Trippier and Davis drop out. Davis down to the bench. Dyer drops to the bench too, as does Eric Lamella as well. So a fairly familiar feel to this Spurs side, with Wanyama and Dembele anchoring midfield, and that front 4 that has terrorised so many sides this season in Eriksen, Ali and Son providing the support to Harry Kane. I suppose the surprise actually is the fact that Stoke are unchanged. They've welcomed back Fletcher and Zouma onto the bench following injury, but he's going with a similar 4-2-3-1 that he went in terms of the game against Arsenal last week. And I think Arsenal were incredibly poor in the first half, and Stoke just didn't take advantage. But I call him Mr. Negative, obviously, because we've got Glenn Johnson at right back, and Moritz Bauer, who is traditionally a right fullback, is playing on the right side of midfield. So they're not the most positive of lineups from Paul Lambert, but then that's probably no great surprise.
What has you mentioned the Premier League pedigree that Stoke have enjoyed over the last decade or so? What's gone wrong this season?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I was looking through, preparing for the game, and you look at the kind of money that they've shelled out on some of these players. I mean, Kevin Vimmer is the perfect example. £18 million from Spurs, cannot get near the squad. We look at the £15 million they spent on Saido Berahino. Him and Afellay have both been banished from first-team training, so they are fairly clueless and fairly brainless as well for turning up late. I think there's an attitude problem with Afellay. Berahino turned up late for an under-23s game, so now he's training with the kids. I mean, and these are the issues. And the goals is their other big problem. When you look through the team, they're not scoring goals. Berahino and Afellay between them, I think, have netted one goal since 2016. And yet they've paid a fortune for these players who just can't get in the team. Martin Zindi, who plays at centre-half today, it's only his 11th start of the season, and they paid good money for him as well. You look throughout the entire side, they're lacking goals, they're leaking goals. It's turmoil. They were the steady Eddie of the Premier League, and all of a sudden they're on a one-way ticket to the Championship right now. There's no coming back for them.
And Adam, all in all, it's been a pretty good season for Spurs. Pochettino seems to have them going in the right direction. They're seeking a sixth straight league win. They just seem to be in a good roll of form, and of course, as you said there, with Harry Kane coming back, it looks as though they've secured a top four place, which again is probably one of their big objectives, and they've kept Chelsea looking like they're not going to get into that Champions League spot.
Well, yeah, they've been in the top four since late February. So, you know, they're fourth at this moment in time, 9 points ahead of Chelsea. So you feel that's fairly secure. That victory last Sunday and that impressive kind of second-half performance, I think, probably summed them up. You know, the first victory there since 1990, before most of the players in the side were even born. It was an excellent second-half performance, a great response from Dele Alli to being left out for England, and maybe just a little bit questioned by Gareth Southgate. He responded in just the right way. We say it's a great season, though, but they're still fourth, and you look how far they are behind Manchester City. And everyone tends to talk about them as being probably the next best side when it comes to the style of football that's played, you know, the squad that Pochettino's developed, his management skills, all of those things in the mix, and yet they still find themselves five or six victories behind Manchester City in terms of the title. So, yes, a good season. Yes, it's great they're going to be in the Champions League again. I think the big challenge for them is going to be that FA Cup semi-final, because they've lost each of their last seven FA Cup semi-finals since they got to the final in 1991. He needs some silverware, and that's going to be his best chance to get it.
Adam, derby day really in the Premier League today. We're just watching the end of the Everton-Liverpool match. Still 0-0, but a lot of eyes will be focused on the late kickoff. We'll be listening to the TalkSport commentary at the Etihad, from the Etihad Stadium. City hosting United. Just what are your thoughts on City's week? Obviously a massive blow to them, the loss against Liverpool. But how is Pep Guardiola going to set up, and what sort of team is he going to pick to take on United to try and clinch that Premier League title this afternoon or this evening?
Well, I think that's the big question, isn't it? I think what happens today, if you'd asked me on Monday morning, I would have given you a very different answer to what I'm going to give you now, because I think there was a feeling that, you know, they may come out of the game against Liverpool with a defeat, but they would be taking something to the Etihad on Tuesday night that was going to be quite easy and quite tight for them to fight for. Or alternatively, they would have romped away. I don't think they expect to go into Tuesday night's game 3-0 down. And I think that may have an impact on his selection today. Of course, they want to win the title at Old Trafford, but they don't need to. They've got six more games to do it. Yes, they want to be one of the earliest to have picked up the trophy in Premier League history, but they don't need it today. What they need, though, on Tuesday night is De Bruyne firing. They need Sergio Aguero to be on top form. They need to be seeing the best of David Silva. They need company, not to be fatigued because he's played three games in the space of a week. So if I was Pep Guardiola, I'd be looking at bringing out my second string today. It's a good second string. That's the key thing in all of that. You know, the likes of Bernardo Silva playing, getting Delph back in the team, continuing with Jesus up front. I wouldn't be risking De Bruyne today. I'd start with Gundogan. I would really be looking after my stars and wrapping them in cotton wool. I'm not sure that's Pep's way, but I think that would be the sensible move if they can have any chance to overturn that Champions League deficit. Of course they want to win it against Manchester United. Of course they do. They want to win it on home turf. They want to win it against Manchester United. They really want to put it up Mourinho. You saw that yesterday with Guardiola's incendiary that he let off in the press conference about being offered Pogba and Mkhitaryan in January. So you can see he desperately wants to do it, but I don't think it's that priority today.
That's our late kickoff at 8:30 this evening. Before that, Adam calls Stoke against Tottenham Hotspur. That one's at 6 o'clock. It's prediction time. Adam, I think I know which way you're going to go.
Well, if we say that Tottenham have won each of their last four meetings by a four-goal margin, which is a Premier League record, let's not be surprised if they make it number five today. I think it will be a very comfortable victory when you consider that Hugo Lloris has made half the amount of saves that Jack Butland has in the Premier League this season.
And spare a final thought for Sadio Berahino, as you mentioned just a few minutes ago. It wasn't that long ago, was it, that he was linked with a move to Tottenham Hotspur? There was chat about him and his England career as well. Doesn't, as you said earlier, doesn't even make the matchday squad today.
No, they were desperate for him. I mean, his last Premier League goal was February 2016. He's played 36 hours of Premier League football without scoring. He's had opportunities. He's missed his last three penalties as well. So it's not like he hasn't had a chance. His Stoke record is one goal in 56 games. I mean, that is absolutely extraordinary. And you have to have a look. I mean, he's 24 years of age. He comes from more of the deprived parts around West Brom and Birmingham. And he got rich. You know, he did very well for himself very early. And you would almost feel that as a young player, he felt like he had succeeded. I had a conversation once with Tony Pulis about him. And he said to me, his problem is he likes chocolate, he likes ready meals, he likes eating late at night, and he likes spending too much time out with his mates. And that's not a lifestyle that brings you a long and successful Premier League career. I think they are a few of the issues which Saido, if he's going to do it and not end up somewhere in League Two, probably plying his trade, he needs to try and deal with those.
You can get away with that lifestyle as radio presenters in Dubai, but not in the Premier League, that's for sure.
Yeah, you can't get away with it here, trust me.
Mr. B, bless you. Thanks so much indeed. Look forward to the commentary from 6 o'clock for now. Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
This is The Grill. Get involved with Dubai Eye on Facebook.
So the big team news from our feature game at 6 is that Harry Kane starts for Tottenham after fully recovering from his ankle injury. He's one of four changes from the win over Chelsea. Danny Rose, Victor Wanyama, Serge Aurier all start. Ben Davis, Eric Dier, Eric Lamella dropping to the bench. Kieran Trippier is not in the matchday squad. That's our feature game at 6 o'clock. And then, of course, we'll have more build-up ahead of a crucial game at 8:30 this evening, Manchester Derby. Talking of derbies, the early derby has come to a conclusion. Mark Archer has the result for us.
Yeah, no goals to talk about. It's all ended at Goodison Park. 0-0. Everton 0. Liverpool 0. I think Jurgen Klopp will be happy that he hasn't got any injuries to deal with. He rested five players from that win in midweek against Manchester City. So he'll probably, if you'd offer him the draw with no injuries before the match, he probably would have bitten your hand off and focused for that big leg two clash against Manchester City during the week. So it's all ended at Goodison. Everton 0, Liverpool 0.
Barnsley 3, Sheffield United 2. That one has finished. Tom Bushell's here with us, and Tom's much better at geography than I am. Trying to work out Barnsley-Sheffield United, that'd be deemed to be a derby, wouldn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. No more than 20 miles apart.
Yeah. Big rivals as well, so I think we can class that one as a derby. Not sure about Norwich-Aston Villa, that might be pushing it a little bit far.
That's a UK derby.
That's a UK derby, isn't it? Yeah. It's a sort of M4 derby.
Absolutely.
That one.
Well, M4, don't know what M4 you've been on, but it
doesn't go to Norwich. It's the M40 derby, isn't it?
The M40 doesn't go to Norwich either.
Is it not?
No.
I've been out of the country for so long. Norwich against Aston Villa is still playing. They're into stoppage time there. It's 3-1 to Norwich, and it's all done and dusted in La Liga. The early kickoff there saw Alaves taking on Getafe, and Alaves have beaten Getafe by 2-0. Waiting for the kickoffs over in Germany. They get underway in, 6 minutes' time or so. Köln against Mainz. Borussia Mönchengladbach take on Hertha Berlin. Augsburg are at home to Bayern Munich, and Freiburg entertain Wolfsburg. Those one getting underway in just a few minutes. And there is an early kickoff underway over in Italy. Juventus, after their exploits on the continent, are in the lead. They're playing Benevento in the early kickoff, and it is Uwe have taken the lead 1-0 after 18 minutes. Let's go stateside. Baseball, is it back?
Yeah, it's back. Hard to believe that we just said it a couple months ago that the Houston Astros were winning the World Series, but it's baseball season, and they're defending it this year, and the Houston Astros were in action against the San Diego Padres. San Diego headed to Texas for this one, and the Padres got the better of the Astros in this one, defeating them 4-1. Elsewhere, we're going to stay on the West Coast because the Los Angeles Angels taking on the Oakland Athletics. Both of these have an A symbol on their hat, so A versus A. The Angels defeat the Athletics, their California counterpart, 13-9 behind Josh Johnson pitching a gem, his first win of the season. But the real story out in Los Angeles right now is the first two-way player to come into the majors since Babe Ruth, Shohei Ohtani.
That's driven out to center field. That's got some sound. Ohtani-san has done it again. Are you kidding me? This is unreal. Shohei Ohtani, dead center field. Mentioned he took that fastball in. The little toe tap and threw the baseball at some serious distance. Watch out down there in the camera well.
Shohei Ohtani, he plays DH for the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. He has three home runs for them, and he's a starting pitcher going 1-0 for them. He had a miserable, miserable spring training. A lot of people thought this failed experiment would not work, but Sosha has him on the right path. It'll be something to see. Everyone's going to be following this 23-year-old Japanese phenom around the baseball diamond for the remainder of the year, because it's just simply amazing, someone who can pitch and hit. You don't see that often. Elsewhere across the league, the Brewers took on the Cubs. The Brewers beat the Cubs 5-4. These teams are only separated by about 60 minutes up the road. The Toronto Blue Jays defeated the Texas Rangers in Texas. The Canadian team comes in, and Estrada picks up his first win on the season, winning 8-5. The Orioles beat the Yankees in 14 innings. It took five extra innings of ball, but the Orioles were victorious over the Yankees in the Bronx. But the play of the day has got to be Judge robbing the Orioles.
Fly ball, right field and deep. Going back, Judge on the track at the wall. And he makes the play. Big smile by Holder. And Judge might have robbed Joseph of a home run. Timed it beautifully. Goes back to the wall. Goes up. Oh, yeah. That was out. That would have been a 4-3 Oriole lead.
Helps. Certainly does. Being a great athlete helps as well. And going all the way back to the track, to the wall, and timing his leap perfectly is Aaron Judge to rob Caleb Joseph. It's an outstanding defensive play.
Elsewhere across the league, the Pittsburgh Pirates, the biggest surprise thus far in baseball, going 6-1 after trading away most of their star players their offseason. They're surprising a lot of people out there. They're winning 14-3 over the Cincinnati Reds. This one was in PNC Park in my hometown of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The Cleveland Indians defeated the Kansas City Royals 3-2. Carrasco picks up his first win of the season, and Brantley knocked in two home runs in this game. And the Atlanta Braves defeated the Colorado Rockies a mile high above sea level in Denver, Colorado, winning 8-3. McCarthy picking up his first win on the season. Gentlemen, the Masters is in full swing. A lot of people come out to the Masters to come out and see some of the best golfers in the world, and you see some of the best sportsmen in the world come on out to the Masters. One of the guys that's going to come out to the Masters is a projected number one, could be the number one overall pick in this year's NFL draft, Josh Allen, the quarterback. And he caught up with Marty Smith on the pressure of being the number one, potential number one overall pick.
I think that, you know, I'm a really competitive guy, and I think wherever I go, I'm going to give everything to that team. So it doesn't matter where you go. You know, I think that people kind of get lost in the draft process, and they see the draft as the end line, and where, you know, I definitely see it as the starting line. It's not where you get drafted. It's what you do after you get drafted. So wherever I go, you know, I'm going to give them everything and work as hard as I can to help that team win.
What's been the most surprising part of the draft process so far for you?
Most surprising? I don't know. I think that with the agency that I went with, the quarterback coach and the trainer that I have, you know, we went over everything. And throughout the combine, the Senior Bowl, the interviews, I think we prepared ourselves pretty well. I've had a lot of help along the way. Obviously, my family's been right behind me, supporting me the whole way. So I just think that I've been blessed to be around the people that I am.
Last thing, how far can you really throw it? Like, if you just wind up and let it eat, how far is that thing sailing?
See those mountains over there?
Uncle Rico. Uncle Rico's in the house.
Referencing Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite there. I think Allen has what it takes. He's got a big arm for him. He could help out a team like the Cleveland Browns, who are quarterback heavy and have two top five picks in the first round. Elsewhere, teams that were active in free agency, the Los Angeles Rams making a lot of moves here in free agency with some trades. And, of course, Bill Belichick, his mind always at work for the New England Patriots. And what does he do? Well, he trades away his best receiver, Brandon Cooks, to the Los Angeles Rams. So Brandon Cooks is now a Ram, and he's happy.
I'm blessed. And to be a part of this organization and what they got going on, I'm extremely excited to be able to, you know, come here and grow with a young quarterback and a great offensive coach and a great coach. I'm looking forward to it.
Now, Brandon, the Patriots did move you around a lot, but you do profile really well as that X receiver. What do you think about just maybe how you fit into the offense right now?
You know, it's one of those things that I haven't really thought about too much. You know, talking with Coach, and as I watch film, I'll be able to gain more knowledge of that. But at the end of the day, whatever he asks me to do, I'm going to go in and do it the best that I can to be able to help this team.
Now, you're obviously on the last year of your rookie contract. A lot of the talk surrounding them getting you was them maybe locking you up long term. I know you just got here, but how willing do you think you could be to maybe commit to this organization long term?
I mean, at the end of the day, it's one of those things. You walk by faith and not by sight. So to be able to commit to this team long term will be a blessing. And it's one of those things that, you know, there's a lot that goes into that. And it's not like I'm pressing for it. I want to come in here and do whatever I have to do to prove that I'm worth to be here for a long time. But not, you know, pressing anything in, just come here and doing the best I can and fit right in.
Brandon Cooks there, starting wide receiver now for the Los Angeles Rams. Had some good years with him, with Tom Brady throwing him the ball. Let's see if he can do it out in the West Coast with Jared Goff.
Thanks so much indeed, Ross. Chris, more from Christo throughout the remainder of the show. More from myself, more from Mark Archer, more from Tommy Bushell, and more from Chris McCarty. That's who we're touching base with after this.
Let's go.
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines, and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Yeah, early over in Italian Serie A, where Juventus are in action. They took an early lead through Dybala. He scored in the 17th minute. But Benevento, who are hosting Juventus this afternoon, have equalised through Diabate. So it is 1-1 with, what, about 25 minutes on the clock there. What's happening in the rugby? Mark Archer?
Yeah, Super Rugby results from earlier today. Australian derby in Canberra. The Brumbies have prevailed 45 points to 21 over the Reds. The Chiefs won the derby match against the Blues, 21 points to 19. And in Tokyo earlier today, the Waratahs were too good for the Sunwolves, 50 points to 29. There's also rugby going over in the Northern Hemisphere. Give you a quick update there. Aviva Premiership, Bath taking on Leicester. Bath, after 23 minutes, Bath lead that match 6 to 3. Saracens lead Northampton 10-3, and in the top in the Pro 14, it's Leinster 7, Zebre 0.
Just to confirm that Norwich have beaten Aston Villa, that one has just come to a conclusion. Norwich 3, Aston Villa 1. Right, first rule of sports broadcasting, never leave the country. Time now for us to talk to ARN's head of sport. Tom Bushell's alongside us at the moment as well. Good to have you back on board, Tom Bushell.
Delighted to be back, Tom. Absolutely delighted to be back. There's been some big changes over the last couple of days, which I need to let a few people know about. Not more so than the one in Bahrain.
That's the former head of sport there. But joining us live on the line from Bahrain is the incumbent, or so they say, of that role at the moment, Chris McCarty. McCarty, good to have you on board.
Yeah, very good afternoon, Tom. Very good afternoon to the other Tom as well. Nice to have him back on the airwaves this afternoon as well.
Listen, my friend, you're over there for us to bring us all the latest from the Bahrain Grand Prix. The Grand Prix, Formula One, has come to the Middle East, part of the Middle East swing of Grand Prix, although we have to wait a little while for the other one to come back round here. Tell us what's been happening down there at the track.
Yeah, final practice concluded about 20 minutes or so ago, Tom. What I can tell you is it's the Ferrari, Kimi Raikkonen, who is the fastest in that final practice. Max Verstappen of the Red Bull, he finished second, Daniel Ricciardo third. When I say finished, it's not really important, his final practice. Of course, all of the teams looking to just make those final little alterations before qualifying gets underway in about an hour and 25 minutes time locally. So that's 7 p.m. over in Dubai, 6 p.m. locally here in Bahrain. Not a good afternoon thus far for Lewis Hamilton. He's down in fourth. He will as well be given a 5-grid penalty. That's because his gearbox will require a change ahead of tomorrow's race. Sebastian Vettel, who won the opening race down in Australia a fortnight ago, he was fifth fastest in that final practice. And then comes the second Mercedes of Valtteri Bottas. So Kimi Raikkonen fastest. He is, of course, the 2007 world champion. 1 minute, 29 seconds was his time around here in the final practice. And, yeah, looking forward to qualifying when it gets underway in about an hour and 20 minutes.
A calendar question for you, McCarty. I don't know if you know the answer to this one. In golf, we talk about the desert swing. They try and do the majority of the tournaments in this part of the region over a couple of weeks so that the players can come and base themselves here. Formula One seem to turn their back on that. One of the first races of the season is here, and the last race of the season, or one of the last races of the season, is here. Would it not make sense to have the two closer to each other?
It's a very good question, Tom. I think you'd have to ask the powers that be down in Abu Dhabi. They love their slot, don't they, at the end of the racing calendar. Why? Because, of course, they hope at the very least that the championship comes down to that final race, and I guess that explains it. Abu Dhabi, we know the Emirate as it is. It wants to be the biggest, it wants to be the best in what it all it does, and having that final race, putting that little cherry on top of the icing, on top of the cake, it's all about that, isn't it? You want to be crowning a world champion. Now, in years gone past, we've seen champions already decided before Abu Dhabi. Let us not forget that we've also seen it go right down to that final race. And, you know, we spoke to Nick McElwee down there at Abu Dhabi, down at Yas Marina Circuit. They love the fact that they are the final race. I don't see it changing anytime soon. And I guess it works quite nicely. Australia into Bahrain. They'll then head for China, come in for the European swing. And then, of course, they go off to the Americas as well. So I think for Liberty Media, they're happy with it. Certainly, Yas Marina and Abu Dhabi got the final race down there.
Chris, paint the picture for us and for our listeners. What is the big difference here between, because all I know in F1 is the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. This is the only one I've ever got to go to. It's a good atmosphere, great environment, very good for the fans. How is it in Bahrain? Is it similar, and how's the atmosphere for you? I think we just lost our head of sport there, but good thing new substitute.
It's fine. I'm here, Ross. I'm fine. Absolutely. I'll take the reins from here.
That's definitely Chris McCarty.
Qualifying is on the way in an hour. That's all you need to know.
Not paid his phone bill, is it?
No, we will get him back on the line. In the meantime, though, let's just get a bit more background on the circuit down there. The Manama Circuit over in Bahrain is where Formula One heads to.
Round 2 takes place under the floodlights of the 5.4-kilometre Bahrain International Circuit. The track's width varies at the end of the different straights, allowing for diverse racing lines. And there are at least three good overtaking opportunities within the circuit's 15-corner layout. Designed with spectators in mind, the circuit sees drivers leave an oasis-styled infield section before racing up the hill to turn 4 and out into the desert night. With DRS zones located on the start-finish straight and between turns 10 and 11. The circuit looks beautiful when the sun goes down in Sakhir, with the light dancing off the cars as they battle for supremacy.
So that's where they are over in Bahrain for the Formula One Grand Prix. We'll try and reconnect with Chris McCarty, our head of sport, who's down there for us monitoring this one. Hamilton's not had a straightforward start to the season, has he, Mark Archer?
No, well, obviously he's struggling for this race, particularly with this 5-grid penalty for changing the gearbox. It's going to, even if he finishes first, the best he can start is sixth. And it looks as though that the Mercedes cars are both trailing Ferrari, if you're looking at the practice times so far. So he could be down as far as either 7th or 8th on the grid, even if he has a good qualifying run, which is going to test his driving ability, which will be interesting to see. But we know how good and how competitive he is once he gets the juices flowing and gets out there in races. So, you know, these penalties for changing engines and for technical changes does hurt them, particularly because they can only make so many changes throughout the season. So it's so early on the year, you don't want to be changing engines, you don't want to be changing your gearboxes, because you're just then hampered for the rest of the year. And if you use up too many too early, then you're just going to get penalised throughout the whole season. So it is, he won't be happy with the team and the reliability of the car.
You mentioned Lewis Hamilton having a tricky start to the year, and he has. But both incidents aren't his fault, of course, because Melbourne was the team miscalculating, you know, with Sebastian Vettel coming into the pits during the virtual safety car. So again, that wasn't Lewis Hamilton's fault. He was very much in control in that race. And then again, this time around, it's a gearbox change, which again, he can't really have much effect on. So he's had an unlucky start to the year. He'll come back into it, of course. But if Sebastian Vettel can get a win tomorrow, then he has certainly got himself into the upper foot early on. And I think it'll be quite a challenge this year for Lewis Hamilton. But there's no doubting Mercedes is the best car for me. But if Mercedes are going to be making these mistakes and what have you, then Ferrari could have a foot in.
Which is interesting, Ross, Chris, because those are two words we don't often put together, do we? Mercedes and mistakes, but they've made their fair share already.
Yeah, it seems that so. So it could be an open an open season for some other teams to step up, which is what we need in F1. I mean, I'm in some weird way, shape, or form, I'm hoping Mercedes makes some mistakes. I'd like to see some other teams challenge for the title, because these last 2 years since I've been following the F1, so boring. I mean, there's not hardly any overtaking. Whoever wins the pole generally wins the race, and generally whoever wins that is Mercedes.
It's better than just driving around in a circle, though, isn't it?
Is it, though? Because when we drive around in circle, we seem to have a different winner every other week.
That is true.
The battle and the debate continues. And we've got our man back on the line as well, live from Bahrain. Chris McCarty is back with us. Apologies, Chris. Somebody sabotaged the line there. I'm blaming Tom Bushell, but I don't know who else we could blame. But good to have you with us again. So, I mean, just from what you've been able to glean from the chat in and around the pit lane, we were just talking there about Mercedes making some uncharacteristic mistakes at the moment. Is that a fair assumption at the moment?
Absolutely is, yeah. I think you just look at the facts. What is it, five poles they've had in Bahrain in five successive years? And again, I don't want to get too carried away. It's only final practice, but they haven't looked impressive. They've looked a bit off the pace, in fairness. Ferrari, who, well, they were wonderful 2 weeks ago down in Australia. A victory for Seb Vettel, a third place for Kimi Raikkonen. They're looking pretty confident. We were down in the garage a little earlier today. A lot of smiles, a lot of joking around. Okay, there's serious work being done as well, but they seem pretty relaxed and comfortable with where they are at. I think Mercedes, it is still early on in the year, isn't it? And there's no way we'll write them off. They are, or they started the season as overwhelming favourites. They will be there or thereabouts. But, of course, Lewis Hamilton, having this five-spot grid penalty, isn't good. So he's got to go out there, ensure that he at least qualifies on pole. And then with the grid penalties coming in, he's got to ensure that he is as high up as he can possibly be for tomorrow's race. Because, once again, Ferrari proving that they've got the pace to match the Mercedes.
Chris, a couple of talking points around the Formula One circuit this week. Want to get your thoughts if you're hearing any inside stories. One, firstly, regarding Lewis Hamilton, yet to sign a new contract with Mercedes. Will he sign it, or will he look to go somewhere else, or where would he go if he did look? And secondly, the meetings that have been being held between Liberty Media, the owners and promoters of Formula One, and the teams. They're trying to find some ways, some level playing ground to compromise regarding team payments, regarding changing some rules. What are you hearing around the pits about the talk on those two elements there?
Well, we'll start with the first one in Lewis Hamilton. My own personal opinion is I do expect Lewis Hamilton to stay at Mercedes. He will be within his right to assess his options. He's made no secret in the past that one day he wants to race for the Scuderia, the bright red of Ferrari, of course, arguably the most famous name in all of Formula One. That will happen one day. I don't see it happening in the foreseeable future. Mercedes, though, need to ensure that they are a competitive car. If they do that, then I do see Lewis Hamilton sticking around for another couple of years at the very least. As towards your second question, Mark Archer, a lot of teams happy that Liberty Media have been, I guess, transparent in all of this. They have said over the course of the next year they are going to be going in, speaking to every team, getting an idea about what the teams think. And I think that's important. I think with Bernie in the past, he's run it as very much, you know, he is the man, and he'll take some advice on board, but he runs it the way he wanted it. Liberty Media running it more of a democracy in that regard. They are going to speak to everyone, and you know, a lot of the lesser lights, if you will, the Williams of this world, the Saubers, they're delighted with this because it levels the playing field. What Liberty Media need to ensure is that they don't alienate Ferrari, they don't alienate Mercedes, because whenever these talks crop up, there's always then the threat of breakaways and Ferrari going it alone. Formula One needs every team to buy into this. I am a firm believer that the only way that Formula One can continue to grow is if we get some level of levelling the playing field. Okay, Ferrari, Mercedes will still take most of the money because they're the biggest names, but there needs to be a level of the playing field. And what I'm hearing on the grapevine is that Liberty Media will still reward the traditional, the big names, but it will be cut down by about 60%, 40%, sorry. So the teams, what they're still earning today, it will be about 60% of what they are. So let's see what happens with that, but I think it is a good thing, and it's the only way I think Formula One remains relevant in the next 3, 4, 5, 10 years.
Final thoughts from you, Chris McCarty. Let's talk race agenda. So when can we expect, in terms of timings, when can we expect qualifying for pole? And for tomorrow, what time is race time?
So qualifying starts 7 p.m. That's Dubai time. 6 p.m. here over in Bahrain this evening. That will then, of course, last an hour. And then tomorrow evening, the race will start 10 past 7 over there in Dubai. That's 10 past 6 here, local time. So I'll be down at the track all day tomorrow. We're getting a little bit of behind-the-scenes access as well. We're currently with the Formula 2 teams as well, getting an idea of just how it all marries up and how the pathways to F1. So it's actually been very intriguing this afternoon, learning about that. But in terms of the big one, 7 p.m. this evening for qualifying, and it is 10 past 7 tomorrow evening for your race, the second race of the 2018 F1 season.
Now, the most important question is, have you been able to locate a screen to watch Manchester United a little later on?
Don't you worry, Tom. That was the first thing I said when I landed today, that none of this qualifying malarkey. I can watch it on a second screen. So we're going to be heading back to the hotel shortly, and I will be ensuring that I am front and centre for Manchester City against Manchester United. That match live, incidentally, on Dubai at 103.8 from 8:30, 7:30 over here in Bahrain. So forget qualifying. I'll come back for the race. It's all about the Manchester derby tonight.
Safe journey. All the best to you, Chris. Look forward to your commentary tomorrow from Bahrain. And good luck to you and all the Manchester United fans a little later on. That was Chris McCarty joining us live on the line from Bahrain as the Formula One Grand Prix gets ready for pole qualifiers a little later on this evening and then the race proper tomorrow. We talked then about the Manchester Derby. We will build up to that more after this.
This is The Grill. Tweet the team at Dubai Eye Sport.
Still 1-1 between Benevento and Juventus in Italian Serie A, and a couple of early goals to bring you from the Bundesliga. They just kicked off 20 minutes ago. Köln have taken an early lead against Mainz. Augsburg 1-0 up against Bayern Munich. And Freiburg, they trail Wolfsburg by 1-0. Keep an eye on those. What about the rugby, Mark Archer's keeping an eye on that for us?
Yeah, action over in Europe. Bath lead Leicester Tigers in the Viva Premiership 6-3. Saracens have a 10-3 lead over Northampton, and in the Pro 14, Leinster have a 7-0 lead against Zebre. All matches halfway through the first half.
Winds picking up down here at Barassi. A lot to look forward to this evening. We've got the next game on the big screen will be Stoke against Tottenham. That's also what you can hear live commentary here on Dubai Eye 103.8. But also goals as they happen from Bournemouth against Palace, Brighton against Huddersfield, Leicester entertain Newcastle, Watford are at home to Burnley, and West Brom at home to Swansea. And then all eyes turn to the Manchester Derby. We've had the Merseyside Derby, and not a million miles away from there, the Manchester Derby. And this one has so much in store because Manchester City could be winners, but Manchester United could spoil the party. It could be winners of the Premier League, I say. Manchester United could spoil the party. And as we well know, there is no love lost between these two managers.
Did you see him becoming the great manager he is today?
No. I have to say that if in that time I would see this talent, I would go to the president and say, oh, keep going here because this guy is good.
For Barcelona, it's not a dream. It's an obsession. There is a difference between a dream and an obsession. And the obsession is called Madrid and Santiago Bernabéu.
Esta sala es el jefe, es el que más sabe del mundo. Yo no quiero ni competir ni un instante. Y si continúo, soy Pep, a veces, hey, José.
I think it's fair to say you don't need to be fluent in Spanish to work out exactly the sentiments there coming out of Pep Guardiola's mouth when asked about a certain Jose Mourinho during their old sparring times back in Spain. They come together here in Manchester. A lot at stake here. Tommy Bushell watching this one with interest, I'm sure, this afternoon.
Absolutely. I think City will win it, the Premier League and the game today, and even though there's the Champions League to try and figure out next week, but I think City will be keen to get it done at home, and especially against United as well. Even with a weakened side, I think they'd beat United, to be honest with you. United, I mean, the second best team in the Premier League, obviously they're second, but I think City will have too much for them today.
Let's hear from the two managers before we hear from the remainder of the Grill panellists and then for their predictions. Let's hear from Pep Guardiola and Jose Mourinho.
Yeah, being in that position with 16 points in front from plus goal difference, of course it's almost done. It's like the situation a little bit like Liverpool. Liverpool is almost done to win the, you know, to go through. In our position it's quite similar, it's almost done. So it's quite close to be champion. Of course we have that chance. It's a coincidence because it's a derby, but that, believe me, doesn't matter. So because we don't prepare the season to think we're going to win the Premier League when Manchester United is coming home. So the situation is what it is. It just focus and what we have to do to win the game. That's all.
My motivation is to finish second. I still have the motivation to finish top four because mathematically is not done. Is a good distance, but not mathematically done. So that's the first objective. But after that, I don't hide that in practical terms, and next season, especially next season, to finish second, third or fourth is exactly the same because you don't win the title, but you qualify directly to the Champions League group phase. But I prefer to finish third and fourth, and I prefer to finish second and third. And because we are in the second position for many, 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 many months, obviously it's our objective to fight for that. And for that we need points. So my objective is to try to have points that can help us to finish second.
So Jurgen Klopp select a weakened side ahead of the crucial rematch between Liverpool and Man City. Will we see Pep Guardiola do the same thing, Ross Christ?
Yeah, he'll probably put out the B squad, but his B squad's better than most teams' A squad. So I think he's got quite the depth on that bench. So you're going to see a lot of guys sitting tonight. But I think United's going to bring it. They're not going to want to lose it in the Etihad. They're not going to lose it to the crosstown rival. They're not going to lose the season today. They know they're going to lose the season, but I think tonight they're going to throw the kitchen sink at them.
Ross, lovely to have you on board this week. Thanks very much indeed for your thoughts. If people want to get in touch with you, best way for them to do that is?
Yeah, get in touch with me on Twitter and on Instagram at Ross Talks. And Tommy, I'm going to invite you and all our listeners Monday night to a brand new pub quiz at Perry and Blackwater's. It's called the Come Up Trumps Pub Quiz. We'll be looking at fake news and sports from across the globe. So that's going to get started at 8 o'clock. Inaugural one this Monday night, Perry and Blackwater's at Souk Mad Nat. So we'd like to see you there.
Looking forward to it. Ross, thanks so much indeed for that. Mark Archer, prediction time.
I think it's going to be funny because I think Pep Guardiola has to be pragmatic. I think he's got to accept that he's got a massive match, almost in some ways a season-defining match. Midweek against Liverpool, even though they've done well in the Premiership, they've won that up. That's been wrapped up for months. He's got people like Sergio Aguero, who has a knee injury. Do you risk him? Of course you don't. You keep him against Liverpool. Do you risk Kevin De Bruyne? Do you leave him on the bench? So you do. I think Mourinho will be Mourinho. He'll sit back deep and try and hit City at home, who have to play some, who have to come at United. He'll try and get a goal early, and then he'll park a couple of buses there. So I see a draw written all over this match. It was a bit of a dour affair, first match, and I think this one will be equally as boring, and we'll get 1-1.
I don't think City have any buses to park at the moment, do they, after midweek?
It's at the repairman, isn't it?
Thanks very much indeed for your thoughts, Mark Archer, if people want to get in touch with you.
At the Kiwi Oracle, of course. where else, Tom?
Tommy Bushell, good to have you on board.
Pleasure
as well.
Pleasure to be back.
Nice to see you.
Excuse me. From my experience in the UK, buses are quite often on strike anyway, so we probably won't see them today.
Minute silence for Ray Wilkins. We hand over to Adam Bridge for live commentary of Stoke against Tottenham. Big thanks to all the team back of house and all those back in Studio City. Grill back next Saturday between 3 and 6, live from Brasty. Till then, Toronto.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.